Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour."
Now this, I promise you, has only ever happened to me once, when it was my name, or my family name, called as a last call for a flight. It was when I'd been on sabbatical, so I'd had a number of weeks in the States. I was coming back through Washington, D.C., and I was dropped off nice and early in the morning by a friend, and everything was ready, passports and what have you, tickets, luggage checked. We had plenty of time, and we just got distracted. We found a corner of a cafe that was in a corner of a backwater of the airport. And it was only because I'd wandered out and seen the screen that said that our flight was boarding. I'm normally there way, way before then. Our flight was boarding, and so we ran across. Fortunately, Dulles Airport is not very big. We ran across and actually had the embarrassment of last call for more as we ran towards the gates. Never happened before, will never happen again. Now, years later, when we were on holiday in Malta, I saw a lady miss her flight. There'd been the warnings, there'd been the last call, and she was in tears, begging with the attendant to let her through. Obviously, she couldn't, because they're probably taxiing the plane by then. She was in tears and begging, but it was too late. The gate had closed. And that's the message here. Don't be distracted and delay and dither with Jesus. Don't put it off until the gate closes. The message is very simple. Be ready or miss out. Be ready or miss out. Now, since the turn of the year, we've been going through Matthew. We've done chunks of Matthew this sort of time of the year, every year for a while. And the bit here, the sort of each week we're seeing variations on a theme, a repeated theme that Jesus is returning. Jesus said he's returning, and so be ready. Because everybody, everywhere, will meet Jesus at some point. There are two great unavoidable facts that you face. It may seem odd saying this on the day of baptizing a very small person, but two unavoidable facts for everybody: Jesus' return and your death. And maybe you get Jesus' return and not your death, but one of those, if not both of those things, you will experience. Either way, you will meet with Jesus, ready or not. And so Jesus tells a parable about this. Actually, he tells a number of parables on a similar thing, slightly different angle, slightly different emphasis each time. And this is the first sort of big one. And it's about the build-up on a wedding day. And there are 11 characters here. There's one bridegroom and 10 virgins. Now, virgin means here bridesmaids. The bridesmaids would have been young, single girls, young, single women. And parables aren't quite the same as an allegory. In an allegory, people look for detail in every single significance in every detail. We don't do that in a parable. It's a main point. And so we don't look for significance in the oil or the torch or sleep or as such. But there's a couple of things you can notice, aren't there? And we are meant to get into the story and feel it as well. So we can identify the bridegroom, because in the Bible, that's Jesus. In the Old Testament, God is often put as a husband with Israel and his people as the wife. And in the New Testament, it's similar, but with Christ and the church. So this is a parable about the church, and by extension the world, waiting for Jesus and being ready or not as they wait. Now, weddings then, in the time Jesus is making this parable, usually the way they worked is you'd have the bridesmaids would be waiting at the bride's house. And then the groom would come, presumably with some guests. The groom would come and there'd be some ceremonies in the bride's house, or it would be her parents' house. And then at nightfall, the couple would parade through the streets to his house with the bridesmaids, and then behind them, the guests, all with torches. And here, the groom is delayed. He's taking longer than they expected. And so all 10 of the bridesmaids, all 10 of these virgins, doze off. So they're nicely having their power nap. It is about midnight anyway, and someone comes in and says, "The groom is here, you've got to come and meet him." And so there's a surprise and unexpectedness about it. In one sense, it's not. It's a wedding. This is what's meant to happen. Perhaps they thought, oh, he's got cold feet or something. But it's not really a surprise, and yet it is a surprise. I suppose it's when people are late, if you're saying to someone come round at a particular time in there, an hour or two late, when they do eventually turn up, you're not ready for them, are you? It's sort of, oh, I kind of got on with life without you. But of these bridesmaids, we're told that 5 are ready and so wise, and 5 were not ready and so were foolish. The wise and the foolish both knew, theoretically at least, the groom would arrive eventually. The foolish, though, did not come with enough oil, so they're not ready. The wise were ready. They had everything they needed. And it's a vivid story, isn't it? It's not hard to imagine being there watching this, or being one of them, wise or foolish. You know what bridesmaids are like. Girls are all made up and beautiful. They wear their special dress that they maybe only wear the once, and they've got their makeup and their perfect hair. And then they're having to run around at midnight in the first century, running around at midnight to try and find oil from somewhere, anywhere. And they come back and their hair's all out of place now, and their makeup's streaming, and they're crying. And they give up and they come home, and the groom shuts the door. "I don't even know you." Now, is that a bit harsh? Now, remember, it's a parable, so we're not meant to seek for huge significance in every detail. But all the guests at these first century weddings, all the guests would have a torch. If you don't have a torch, it could well be that you're a crasher, a gate crasher looking for a free meal, or worse, you're some kind of yob that's going to nick stuff. So the message is, be ready. You will meet Jesus. He will return when you don't know. So you have to be ready all the time. Now, when I say ready, what do I mean by ready? Well, it means accept his offer. Consider his claims and then don't delay, receive him. Now, what is the offer? Well, it's what we can visually see in baptism. That Jesus died in our place for our sin. So each person sins and is a sinner, without exception. Everyone's like it. The root problem of that is that we put ourselves as boss over God. And the outworking is all the things that we do, that are selfish and so on. And that cuts us off from God, now and in eternity. But on the cross, our sin and separation goes on to him. There's a swapping that happens. So Jesus is cut off for us. And then at his resurrection, we can share in his resurrection that we can have a new and look forward to an eternal life. And so that friendship leads to, so forgiveness leads to friendship, not friendship of equals. He calls himself Lord. And so we are to, part of the offer, accepting the offer, is to recognize him as our rightful king. And that leads to eternal life in a new creation, where all suffering and problems of now are gone, because there's no sin causing the problems. So the message here is, don't be distracted. Here's the offer. Here's the great offer that's out there. Don't be distracted by something else. You just keep on leaving it. And so be ready for his return. And you need to be ready, because you don't know when he'll come. It could be a very long delay. It's been 2,000 years so far. It could be at any moment or many more to come. All we know is that we're a bit nearer this morning than we were yesterday morning. But we don't know how much nearer. So we need to be ready for either outcome. Now, there's a few things to note. Having said, don't draw significance in every single detail in the parable. There are a few things for us to notice as we sort of try and put ourselves in the shoes or as a bystander watching these bridesmaids. We need to notice that there's something similar and different between the bridesmaids, the need to be ready, and the finality of it all. So the first thing is the bridesmaids. They're externally the same. The bridesmaids are externally the same. Now, when you go to a wedding nowadays, the bridesmaids often wear matching dresses, don't they? There's a theme. People like a theme, or brides like a theme. And so the bride, you can tell who she is, and the bridesmaids, you can tell who they are, as they all wear their blue or wear their pink or whatever it is, dresses. Sometimes they go a bit crazy and they match, but it's obvious who the bridesmaids are. It's obvious who the ushers are. They wear the same ties, maybe the same suits, and everyone in the bridal party wears the same flowers. Normally, is how it works. Probably didn't quite work like that then. Nonetheless, it would be clear who the bridesmaids are. They'd be marked out as this group, the bridesmaids. Now, the parable is not about all the guests or all the town. Actually, Jesus tells a similar parable a few chapters earlier where he does that. But here, it's just about the bridesmaids. They're a group that appear the same. They're all girls, they're all young, they're all single, and they're all marked out as bridesmaids some way. But they're not all the same. They look the same, but there's a distinguishing feature. Oil, or lack of oil. Five were ready, five were not ready. Five were wise and five were foolish. And as we move on in this chapter, the other parables make a similar point. There's one about servants, one about sheep and goats. And the point in all of these, he makes slightly different points in other ways, but one similar thing, that in these groups, they all look similar, but they're not. There's something different. They all look similar, but there's a distinguishing feature. They're not ready. They're not ready for Jesus' return. So this is a warning, especially to churchy people, for people who come here or another church regularly, that you could have an outward appearance of being a Christian. You can come to church. You can agree with all kind of moral issues. You can be involved in some kind of subculture and have the vocabulary, but not ready to meet Christ. And that would be a disaster, to have all the externals without the substance. But of course, it applies to non-churchy people too, doesn't it? I mean, most people I can't see the point of it all. It's a few things that, in fact, we did this event in Costa Coffee on Thursday. One of the staff said to me, "Oh, it's great, this. I mean, it's not really my cup of tea, you know, but each to their own." But that's the offensive thing about Christianity, is it's saying, well, it's not really what you think about it. Is it true or not? Not do you like it or not? So some people just go, I just can't see the point. But this is the point, that, and a very significant one, is your lifespan against the backdrop of history is pretty short. If you get a telegram for the Queen, well, probably won't be the Queen by the time you reach 100, it'd be the King, one of them. And if you reach that, you're doing well. But against history, that's tiny. Versus eternity, that's what you need to be ready for. So an important repeated point that Jesus makes is that his delay is not his cancellation. Jesus is taking longer, we can call it a delay, but it's not a cancellation. And it's not that he's been sidetracked either. Jesus is taking his time because he's patient and he's giving you time. He's giving the world time, but he's not cancelled his appointment. The next thing is that you need to be ready, that you need to be ready. You do. You yourself need to be ready. You cannot get ready for someone else, and someone cannot get ready for you. So the point of the parable is the ready and the wise bridesmaids, not the selfish bridesmaids. The oil can't be shared in this parable. The point is you can't transfer your readiness. So we thought already this morning in a baptism how the Christian faith is corporate. It's something we do together, that God views us as churches and families and so on. God relates to groups, not just individuals. But God does relate to individuals. Being in the right group alone is not enough. It's significant. It's significant to be a Thomas or a member of a church. But not alone. We need to respond personally. We can't rely on our parents or our wife's faith. I say wife because the number of times I've finished up chatting to a man and he goes, oh, you're talking about God, I'll get the wife. And you can't be ready for someone else. I guess it applies the other way. I've just never had it the other way. We need to make our own response to Jesus. So this morning, you know, Rowan's part of the Thomas family. He's part of Christ's family. But David and Fee have to bring him up and teach him in their faith so it becomes not their faith, but his faith. Personally, Rowan's faith. And the reason is because each person has their own problem with God. Each person is separated by their own sin and need forgiveness for their own sin. So each needs to come to Jesus as their own king. They need their own sin dealt with. They need to be ready themselves to meet with God. So you need to be ready. You can't transfer the status. You need to be ready personally. And you need to be ready. And then there's a finality. There's an in-out about the parable that perhaps grates with us. In each parable, there's a division of in and out. Jesus returns, brings a division. Verse 10, he says this, and while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. They go in, those who are ready go in, and the door is shut. Those who are not in are shut out. So those who are ready, when he came, go in to a feast. And often that's what the Bible talks about, the future as a feast, often as a wedding feast in a new creation. It sounds good. Great food, great wine. It's a wonderful thing. C.S. Lewis, in his Narnia Chronicles, ended the Chronicles like this. You can call it a spoiler alert, but it's not really. The end of the Narnia Chronicles, it has this. The term is over. The holidays have begun. The dream is ended. This is the morning. This is the end of all the stories. But for them, this was only the beginning of the real story. All the life in this world and all their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover and the title page. And now at last, the beginning of chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. And perhaps when you get home, read the last couple of chapters of the Bible. It's put even better than C.S. Lewis put it. And you are invited to that. Those who are inside when the door is shut, it is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful future that everybody here is invited to. But the offer will close. Those who are not ready are shut out. Verse 11, after the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Truly I say to you, I don't know you. We can miss out on the great promise, the new creation. Now that would be bad enough to miss out on the good, but it's worse because what that is saying is I will bear the consequences of my own sin. I'll take the blame for what I've done and for treason against the King of the universe. What the Bible talks about as hell. Some people will leave it too late and live as if Jesus is not going to return. On that day, it's too late. I mentioned this last week, but it illustrates the point well. Seeing a bumper sticker that says, many a man who seeks God in the 11th hour dies at 10:30. Or the Bart Simpson thing where he says his plan is to live a reckless life and then have a deathbed conversion. And actually, we laugh, but actually, that's most people's idea. I'll do the church stuff when I'm old. And as I've mentioned before, there's nobody here who is younger than people I've buried. I've buried people from every decade of age group. And they all have one thing in common. They didn't know they were going to die. So there's a long delay in Jesus coming. It's because of his patience and to give people the opportunity. But the offer will close. The door will shut. And no pleading helps at that moment. But there's plenty of chance now. So obvious statement from my point is just don't do that. And that summary in the last two verses of the reading. He answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you do not know neither the day nor the hour." If we take the attitude now, we don't want to know Jesus, on the final and last day, that's reciprocated. People say, is that fair? Yes, it is fair. If you say, I don't want to know you, it's not unreasonable to say, I respect your wishes back. The final day, our attitude is reciprocated. And simply, we don't have the luxury of knowing when that will be. So be ready now. The memory of that lady at the gate in Malta stays with me. I'll not cut it fine again if I nearly got a speeding ticket, because that was the alternative of being late for a flight or going a bit faster than I should be. She stuck with me. I give it so much time to get to airports. The image of the bridesmaids here sobbing because they're not ready is so vivid for us, isn't it? Don't miss out on the wonderful invitation from Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the offer that you've made to us. We don't deserve this offer of eternal life, but you make it for us. And so we ask for your Spirit to prompt us in our hearts to accept that offer, to weigh up and consider and find out more, but to take it. Please prompt us that none of us would be too late for that offer. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.